today as we come to the table.
Some of you probably under condemnation, thinking maybe God is giving you that. You need to understand there's a big difference there. Condemnation is you're no good. You're a failure. You'll never make it. God won't forgive you. Look what you've done. You've ruined every opportunity. This is condemnation. Jesus said, rather, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the Lord said, I didn't come to condemn, but to save. So if you're feeling condemned, note this, that is either you or that is the enemy.
The difference between condemnation and conviction? Well, for starters, one comes from the enemy, while the other comes from the Holy Spirit. Conviction brings about change and growth, while condemnation brings only shame and fear. It tells us we're stuck and we'll never be free. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Our enemy is extremely good at deceiving us, and he'll do his level best to rob you of your hope. He'll come in and poke at the self-inflicted wounds from your sin, bringing frustration, pain, disappointment, and disillusionment. But when God comes in through his Spirit, well, it still hurts while he pokes at your wounds and reveals your weaknesses, but it's only so he can apply his healing touch and heal you to get you moving on. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 14, as he continues teaching us about the Holy Spirit, who he is, and what he does.
He works in our lives many ways. We're going to see many attributes today. Next week, we're going to see many the works that he does. Now, we'll see some of the works he does today, works slash attributes. Next week, we're going to focus on the three main works that the Holy Spirit does in our life as we look at the power predominantly next week and the way he works in our life. But what does the Holy Spirit do? And before we look specifically at what the Holy Spirit does, notice the promise that Jesus gives them. He says to them, he will not leave them orphans there in verse 18. He will come to them. That is, he won't leave them alone. Okay, and how does he say he's going to do this? Again, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he says here that the Holy Spirit is our helper or our comforter. He uses both those words. The word helper here is the word parakletos. Para is where we get the word with. It means alongside or with. And then also there's in that meaning is also the word advocate. And many sometimes even translated advocate rather than comforter. That is the one that fights for us. But it's translated here in the New King James as the word comforter. And the word comforter comes from two different words. The word com, which means alongside, and the word fortis, which means strong. So again, what is he saying here? He's a comforter that is strong. He comes alongside us, and he gives us that comfort that we need. How many of you this morning need someone to come alongside you to be strong and to give you comfort? That's what the Holy Spirit offers. You have that this morning. I'm so alone. No, you're not alone. If you don't know the Lord, you might be. But if you know the Lord, you have someone there to comfort you, and it's someone that's extremely strong, someone powerful alongside you, an advocate that fights for you, that stands for you, that stands with you. And you simply need to cry out to him to ask for his help. And again, how do we know that we need to cry out and ask for his help? The Lord said so. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, listen to what he said, speaking to his disciples, by the way, in context. He said, if you then, being evil, that is of the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But Mark, I thought these were believers already. I thought that everybody received the Holy Spirit at salvation. They do. And we'll address that more in just a moment and more next week. But again, the bottom line of what's happening here is the Holy Spirit had not yet been given in the sense of indwelling. He said he'll be with you and he will be in you. Jesus couldn't be in anyone, the Holy Spirit rather, couldn't be in anyone until Jesus died on the cross. Why? He's the Holy Spirit. We are sinners, tainted by sin. God's holiness can't live inside of a sinful container. But if you wash the sins clean of that container, what happens? Now the Holy Spirit moves inside to live. Now it's interesting here, the Lord's speaking to these believers, he's telling them that they need to ask for the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit, if all the work of the Holy Spirit was done at salvation, what would we be asking for? And again, that's what we're going to get into next week. The Lord makes it very clear, there's things we need to ask the Holy Spirit for. Yes, we have the indwelling at salvation, but there are other works of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is saying we need to ask for so we can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, the Holy Spirit, again, being asked for, the Holy Spirit being with us at salvation, the Holy Spirit coming alongside us, what is the primary function? This brings us to another aspect of the Holy Spirit. What is a primary function of the Holy Spirit when he comes alongside us, when he comes in us, when he does all these things? It is to glorify Jesus, not to glorify himself. Where do we see this? In John 16:14, Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, said this, "He will glorify me." Note that. Not himself. "For he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Which means anytime you see someone magnifying or glorifying the Holy Spirit, they're out of order. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not God. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit does not deserve honor, that he's not to be respected as God, because he is God. But the primary function of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the Lord and working in his church is not to glorify himself and to lift himself up and to make the focus the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a Holy Spirit service tonight, you know, and this kind of thing. The focus is Jesus. Lifting up Jesus, glorifying Jesus, giving Jesus all the glory. And when you do that and you see that happening, that's when the Holy Spirit is being properly exposed as to what he does. He glorifies Jesus. And so when you go to a place that see that Jesus is glorified, you know that the Spirit is truly working. Contrary, when you go to somewhere where the focus is all on the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit cannot work in that atmosphere among sincere believers. But the bottom line is they don't understand the operation of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that's not what he's about. You know, the Holy Spirit's not going to show up at church and do a bunch of selfies, all right? The Holy Spirit turns the camera on Jesus. He says, "Look at Jesus. Isn't Jesus great? Look at him. Let your focus be on him." That's when the Holy Spirit's at work. He draws attention to the Lord. Now, what is something else we see the Holy Spirit do? We're not going to get to it until we get to John 16, but I want to point it out because we are talking about the Holy Spirit today. But another aspect about the Holy Spirit that I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit convicts the world and us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because of our lives, of righteousness because of his holiness, and because of judgment because of the judgment to come. One day we'll all stand before God. So God convicts the world of that, which again is to lead them to a place of repentance, but God also convicts us of that so that we live a righteous life. That we live a sin-free life, that we live a life that honors the Lord. So another work that he does is he brings conviction into our life and into the life of the world around us. Now, this is something we so need to understand as believers. And I ran across this with someone even after first service and in talking afterwards. Satan will condemn us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Two very different things. And so some of you probably under condemnation, thinking maybe God is giving you that, you need to understand there's a big difference there. Condemnation is you're no good, you're a failure, you'll never make it, God won't forgive you, look what you've done, you've ruined every opportunity. This is condemnation. Jesus said, rather Paul said in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the Lord said, I didn't come to condemn but to save. So if you're feeling condemned, note this, that is either you or that is the enemy. Now, if you're feeling convicted, what's conviction? Conviction is you don't feel condemned, but you know you need to get some things right that aren't right. This is wrong. I need to get this right. And if you're here this morning and don't know the Lord, the Holy Spirit will convict you. You know what? You haven't asked forgiveness of your sins. You haven't given your life to Jesus. And because of that, you can't go to heaven. That's not condemnation. That's a fact. And so the Holy Spirit will begin to speak facts to your heart. You're not going to go to heaven. Your sins aren't forgiven. You've got to do something. And you feel this, you know, it's like, oh, I need to take action. I need to ask God to forgive me and do something. That's conviction. So we need to understand the difference of the two. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn. He convicts. And again, as I said, there was a believer this morning telling me how they were feeling so condemned, and I was able to encourage them, and they knew that already. That's not the Spirit of God. God's not condemning you. You're forgiven already. But if you're convicted, then you need to do something about it. Take action and respond to the Lord. Conviction is good. Condemnation is bad, because conviction leads us to repentance. Now, what's the next thing Jesus reveals about the Holy Spirit? Here's another thing we need to recognize. Notice the Lord said in verse 17 there, He's the Spirit of truth. All right, He is the Spirit of truth, which means what He does is He reveals truth to us. How many of you guys want to know what the truth is? It's interesting. A lot of times the world doesn't want to know what the truth is, so they close their ears. But the Holy Spirit reveals to us what the truth is and how important this is to know that we have someone today that speaks to us the truth and that it's absolute truth from heaven, especially in a day and age where people say no one can really know the truth and everybody has their own opinion about what truth is. See, I love God's word because God's word simply says it the way it is. This is the truth. We have a choice to either believe it or not. Next week, we're going to get into obedience and how we show the Lord that we love Him by our obedience. And listen, there are some things in our society today that God's word clearly says is right and wrong, and many of us are afraid to stand with what's right because of the pressures of the world. We'll talk about the power of the Holy Spirit to help us not to have that fear as we get into next week as well. But the bottom line is, if we're going to show the Lord that we love Him, we have to obey Him, and we have to simply believe what His word says. If His word says it, it's true. I heard someone listening to a little clip by Billy Graham. I don't know who it was that was talking with them or interviewing them. I was sitting in a different place, but I heard it, you know, on the computer. And a lot of Billy Graham things are out there now because he's gone to be with the Lord in heaven. And this guy was making this point, almost kind of mocking in some kind of show, saying, you know, you mean to tell me that you believe that it's wrong for a man to sleep with a woman before they're married? He says, don't you know that if you're going to find out whether or not the car is any good, you have to drive it first? I mean, doesn't that make sense to you? And of course, the crowd laughs and all this. And I don't remember the exact words. But what Billy Graham said to him was, he said, it really doesn't matter what I believe. It only matters what God's word says. And here's what the Bible says. And he began to quote scripture. See, when someone says to you, you really believe? Fill in the blank. You don't have to say there, yes, I do. And I believe it, and I'm going to stand on it. You don't have to be shaky. Just say, you know what? It doesn't really matter. And this is really the truth. My opinion matters not. It makes no difference what I think. And everybody wants their opinion to matter. Yes, it does. Your voice needs to be heard. Well, I understand all that in a lot of different aspects, and there are times when that's appropriate. But when it comes to the Word of God, it's only God's Word that needs to be heard. It's only God's Word that matters. And if God says relations physically before marriage are sinful, then God's right and we're wrong. Now, why would God do that? Whose idea was sex? You think we came up with it? You know, don't tell God. He'll take something fun away from us, right? A lot of people think that. God created it. It was His idea. He created the ability for it to be pleasurable and everything that goes with that in marriage. But God is saying, I want to protect you. If you start having relations before marriage, number one, the two become one, the Bible says. There's a connection. It's more than physical. There's a spiritual thing that happens. And you're becoming one with another person that if you don't marry them, now you're actually going to rip yourself apart and not have your full self to give to the one that I have for you. So you're becoming one with all these people. You're giving yourself away. By the time you find the one that I've got for you, you've got about 30% of you to give them. I want you to have 100% of you to give them. So there's a very practical way. Secondly, sin destroys. God knows that if you sin, what happens? Diseases start happening. Not necessarily God's judgment. It's a result of sin. So as you're having relations, diseases pop up. Venereal diseases, herpes, different types of things that are killing people, even AIDS. All these things begin to happen because it's a result of sin. God says, I would spare you. Don't do this. I'm protecting you. And then when you get in that marriage bond, have a blast. You know, you're free in Christ. You know, the sad thing is oftentimes once we get to marriage, because of our past in sexual sin, and many of us come from that background, because of our past in sexual sin, we've so messed things up that it takes years just to try to find out what a normal relationship and a marriage is. Because we've messed ourselves up so much. I was reading just yesterday a headline, you pop through the news and some headlines and something about that pornography has messed men's minds up so much that it's hard to have normal relationships with their wives anymore. And again, what happened? God knows that. God says, if you do these things, it's going to mess you up where you can't be normal anymore. Don't do it. And if you've already done it, stop it and repent. I will restore you. I will cleanse you. I'll not only make you clean before heaven, I'll renew your mind. And depending on how far we went down that road and how far we went down that path, will depend on how long it takes us to get back to normalcy. But God says, if you'll just do it my way, you'll be blessed. He knows what he's talking about. How many of us wish we could just rewind everything back and do it God's way all the way through and not carry all the baggage that we've carried into marriage? And so God knows what he's saying. The spirit of truth will speak to us. And even as we say this today, as believers, we know this is true. We know it is. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about the spirit of truth next week and some very challenging things when it comes to our society and obedience. Are we going to obey the Lord even in hard things that the world is saying and we realize we're going to be ostracized and maybe looked at as whatever the case might be? The spirit of truth convicts us. He shows us truth and we know what the truth is. We recognize the truth, but the world often treats it the same way Pilate did when Jesus said, those who hear my voice know the truth. Pilate said, what's truth? If you tell people that today, listen, here's the truth. Oh, what's truth? That's truth to you, but truth to me is, and fill in the blank. No, we know the truth. God's word tells us the truth. It's our choice to believe it or not believe it. But the Spirit convicts us and tells us what the truth is. Jesus promises that as Christians, we have God's Spirit showing us and telling us what the truth really is. How exciting that is in a world that has no idea what's going on right now. We recognize what's happening. We know the signs of the times. We know why Israel's back in the land. The Bible said they would be in the last days. We know why the world's turning against them. The Bible says every nation will turn against them. We know why Russia and Iran are on the northern border of Syria, because the Bible says they're going to gather and attack from the northern border in the last days. We know the Bible. Now we just wait for it to happen. We're watching it all take place before our very eyes. The world's going, wow, what's happening? We can't figure this out. It's crazy. Well, we can say it is crazy, but we knew about it. And guess what? We can tell you more. Do you have some time? Because we know the answers. The Spirit of truth tells us, and God's word tells us. And again, it's not available to the unbeliever. That is why when the Spirit of truth tells you something and you begin to share the Spirit of truth with your family or friends, they think you're crazy. And if you're in that place, and if you're not, you will be at some point, know that you're not alone. Jesus also was accused of being crazy. Now imagine this. Jesus was accused not only of being demon-possessed, he was accused of being crazy. You ever think, well, I get so mistreated. They say things about me because I'm a Christian. Have you been accused yet of being demon-possessed? I don't know. Maybe you have, right? But I guarantee you that if you walk with the Lord and you're bold enough, people are going to think you're nuts. Jesus had this same issue in Mark 3, verses 20 through 21. Listen to what it says. Then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. Now, that is, Jesus was doing ministry, and the crowds were so large, you couldn't even take a break to go eat. His family saw this. He's traveling around these massive crowds. He's saying all these things like he looks like he's the Messiah. What's going on here? And they didn't yet believe. And they're not even eating. And all these things are just like, you know, this what they would see is fanatical religiosity if you didn't believe. It says, but when his own people heard it, that's the Bible's way of saying his family. When they heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him. For they said, look at this, he's out of his mind. Jesus, his own family, he's crazy. How do you live with God and think he's crazy? Here's how. You don't have the Spirit of truth. It's the Spirit of truth that shows us what truth is. It's the Spirit of truth that opens our eyes. It's the Spirit of truth that gives us the right direction. And so the world and the unbeliever can't receive this. Why? Because Jesus said they don't know him and they can't see him because he is given by Jesus to those who know Jesus. This is why the truth is so easy for you to see as a believer, but the world of the unbeliever can't get it. I still just astounded. You know, again, this was very shocking to me as a baby believer. Just my favorite verse was to always say, you know, because everybody has this, you can get to heaven all these different ways. And so I thought, I've got him. This is it. The trump card. This is it. Jesus said, no one goes to the Father but by me. Boom. I mean, boom, boom. And you're thinking, argument over. Let's hear what you have to say, unbeliever. Well, that's your interpretation. What? I didn't even interpret anything. I just read it to you. Can't you see it? And guess what? I figured out. They really can't. They really can't see it. It's so simple. It's like 1 + 1 = 2. Can't get to the Father but by me. This is not rocket science. But there's a veil. There's a veil over the eyes. And that's your opinion. And that's not what I believe. And you're going, wow, we really are in a spiritual battle. If logic and straight truth could do it, there wouldn't be a problem. It's a spiritual battle. Guys, it's not an intellectual problem for anybody that doesn't come to Christ. Some say it is. It's,
oh, I don't know that I can believe that because of whatever, you know, a man swallowed by a giant fish. I don't believe that anything could live down in the ocean inside of something, you know, like that. Well, excuse me, what about a submarine?
Yeah, but man did that. Oh, so man's greater than God. Well, I'm not saying that. Oh, you're saying that man can make something that can drive a man around the ocean and bring him out 3 days later, but God can't? You see, they can't see. They don't understand the power of God. They don't know how big God is. They don't have an understanding of who they're dealing with, and they don't have the spirit of truth. We've got a zip here, but notice he's not only the spirit of truth and the revealer of truth. Here's another aspect for those of you that are taking notes. He is the reminder of truth. Listen to what it says in verse 26 of that same chapter. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's how, when they wrote the Gospels, they remembered what happened. So how could they have written the Gospels, 15, 20, 30 years later and remembered everything? Some say maybe even longer on certain Gospels. The Holy Spirit brought it to remembrance. He showed them. Listen, how many times have you been sharing with someone and they're asking you a question and you're going, oh, boom, and all of a sudden that scripture's right there. You ever had that happen? Do you think it's because you're so awesome and you've memorized so much and you're this great or whatever? You know what it is? The Holy Spirit's right there with you. He's alongside. He's with you going, boom, this verse. And you say it, you're like, wow, that was good, right? It's the Holy Spirit. He's reminding you of what he already showed you. Now, if you're not laying that up in your heart in memory, reading the Word of God, you're not going to have that for the Holy Spirit to remind you. So you got to be reading the Word. But if you're reading the Word, he reminds you of the Word. Not only will he remind you, I've shared with you guys sometimes, I don't even understand certain passages of Scripture until you guys come and ask. I've had things truly that some of you guys have come forward and asked me a question and I've never fully understood. And then when you ask the question, what happens? The Holy Spirit tells me what it means. And I get just as excited. I'm like, wow, I never knew that. Okay, here's what it is. And I just start telling what it means. And it's like, it makes me seem really smart. I'm not. It's called the Holy Spirit speaking through the person that's sharing, be it you, me, or anyone else. He's reminding us. He's teaching us. He's leading us. He's instructing us. He's using us for God's glory. We're his vessels. And so then he becomes the reminder as well. Now, we looked at several different aspects of who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does. Next week, we're going to specifically look at the power of the Holy Spirit and the works of the Holy Spirit. That is, we're going to see examples of him in us. We're going to see examples of him with us. We're going to see examples of him coming upon us. And there are different works of the Spirit. He works in different ways, and there are different specific reasons for each of those. And we're going to talk about what the specific different reason for each of those are and how we're going to have those operate in our life. And before we're done here, I want to pray that we would ask for God to do a greater work by His Spirit in us. Because one of the things I want to see God happen, make happen here this week and next week is a greater outpouring on Calvary Chapel. Why? So that we can just kind of have tinglies? No. I want to see God do a new fresh work here in your lives and the life of the ministry here. That's what He does. He glorifies Jesus, he strengthens us, he comforts us, he teaches us, he gives us power. Why not ask him for that?
The Gospel of John is home to one of the most well-known verses ever, John 3:16. It gives you the message of hope right there in one sentence. God sent his Son to save the world. But the next verse, verse 17, is also significant. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Pastor Mark has something to say about this too.
Yes, Greg, I think you need to know that your life isn't a surprise to Jesus. Maybe you've been feeling like you're too far down the wrong path to turn around, or maybe you're afraid God's going to punish you for all you've done. That verse is there to give you hope. God didn't send Jesus to condemn you. In fact, Jesus' death on the cross forgives all your mistakes and failures. He's enough. And all you need to do is come to him and hand over your sin. Would you like to talk to someone about this? Please call us. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 865-609-1385. Or reach out to us through the About Us section on PastorMarkKirk.com. Never forget that his mercies are new every morning. And I'm excited you're ready to start a new life today. And know that I'm praying for you.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. And with that, we're out of time. But Pastor Mark has more verses to share with us from the book of John. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.